Welcome to Understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I hope that you'll have some information given to you that will fulfill the purpose of the program. Our purpose here is to give you information to help you understand your Bible. I believe today it's very important that people learn how to understand their Bible, because so many people have given up on Bible study because they have found it difficult to understand the Bible, and they believe that the Bible is some mysterious and dark book that's hard to be understood. Well, I want to give you some information today, what I call keys to understanding your Bible, that will help you to understand the things that God has written to you. I have a chart up here that we've been using throughout the broadcast, and it's a chart that demonstrates 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I believe the key to understanding your Bible is found in this verse, and that is rightly dividing the word of truth. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe you need to distinguish between the books written to you and the books written for you. All the Bible is written for us. And on the board up here, I have the books of the New Testament listed in the order in which they're written. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those books, we find the gospel of the kingdom. We find that the emphasis there is the earthly ministry of Christ. Then in the book of Acts, in the early part of Acts, we find the 12 carrying out the ministry that was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul is saved in Acts 9, and the next 13 books in the Bible are Romans through Philemon. Then we have the emphasis that shifts away from the church, the body of Christ, again to the nation Israel, in Hebrews through Revelation. Now, to understand right division, you need to understand that Paul said that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, "I magnify mine office." Paul was saved in Acts 9, and according to Ephesians chapter 3, he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He said that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and several times he said, "Be ye followers of me." So to rightly divide the word of truth is to understand that the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is found in Paul's epistles. Now, I believe that we ought to read the entire Bible. I believe we ought to study the entire Bible, but we need to understand that the doctrine for the church is not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do we need to understand those books? Certainly. Those books center around kingdom doctrine. They center around Christ teaching 12 men to offer the kingdom after His death, burial, and resurrection. Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 have to do with that offering of the kingdom by the disciples after Christ ascends into heaven. But after Paul is saved, we find the dispensation of the grace of God given to Paul outlined in Romans through Philemon. And those are the books where we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Hebrews through Revelation deals primarily with kingdom doctrine and tribulation doctrine associated with the nation Israel. Now, I want to talk to you about something today specifically about the Word of God. You see, we talk about rightly dividing the Word of truth, and that is very important. But it's also very important that we understand that we have a book that is the Word of God, that is truth for today. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I want you to understand today that I believe and I know that the Bible bears this out, that we have a final authority. I believe in religious circles today and in Christendom in general that most people do not have a final authority. Now, they may have an authority, but I believe that we have a final authority. I believe that final authority is the King James Bible. I believe without a doubt that the King James Bible is the Word of God for today. I believe that God inspired those who wrote the Bible. And not only did he inspire those that wrote the Bible, but he has preserved his word for us today in the form of a King James Bible, the Word of God for English-speaking people. Now, I believe there are things that have clouded the issue as far as truth is concerned. I believe that one of the greatest detriments to the Christian world today are the number of translations that have been produced in the marketplace. Today you can buy any number of Bibles, and they all call themselves the Word of God. There are multitudes of translations. There are literally hundreds of them on the market. And it seems like every day or at least every month or two, somebody's coming out with a new Bible. Well, you have to ask yourself the question, why is that? You know, most of the versions, most of the what I call perverted Bibles today that are on the market are produced under a false myth. Those myths are that, number one, the King James Bible is hard to be understood. And number two, that the translations or the perverted Bibles don't really change doctrine. And we're going to be looking at both of those things in a moment. But I want you to think about something. You know, you can go and you can begin to look at what is called manuscript evidence. You can go back and you look at the origin of the King James Bible, and you can find that it goes back and is based upon the Textus Receptus. And we could spend a lot of time tracing the lineage of the King James Bible versus the lineage of the other Bibles that are on the market today. But you know, I believe that the greatest proof that the King James Bible is the Word of God is the Word of God, is the King James Bible itself. Now, what I mean by that? Well, you know, you've heard the saying, the proof is in the pudding. Well, if you take a King James Bible and you lay it side by side with an NIV or an ASV or Good News for Modern Man, and you begin to compare key scriptures, you're going to find out that the King James Bible is the Bible that most exalts the Lord Jesus Christ as deity. That is, it is the one that most exalts the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. As a matter of fact, one of the most serious changes that you'll find in most translations is John chapter 3, verse 16. The King James Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And you know, if Jesus Christ was not the only begotten Son of God, then you and I have no salvation. The Bible says that no man by any means can redeem his brother. In order for us to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, He had to be God manifest in the flesh. And yet many of the translations today remove that word, only begotten. Some say that He was the unique Son of God. Well, obviously the Bible is clear that to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. There are many mentions of sons of God in the Bible. But Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. And because of that, He was able to bear the sins of the world and die for our sins. So we find that the translations do make changes that affect doctrine. Not only that, but if you study the issue, if you really look at the Bibles, you'll find that people that have told you that the King James Bible is hard to be understood, they have simply sold you a bill of goods. The King James Bible is not hard to understand. And yet people have been taught that it is hard to understand. I have a document that I want to read from and I think expose what is absolutely a lie about the King James Bible versus the translations or the other Bibles that are on the market. As I said a moment ago, generally speaking, people will say, well, the reason I don't read the King James is because it's hard to be understood. You may be familiar with a research company that's called Flesh Kincaid. If you've got a word processor on a PC and you do a grammar check or a word check, most of them will have the Flesh Kincaid grade level indicator on there. And what that does is it takes a document and it looks at the document and it grades that document and it tells you the level in which it's written. In other words, if you write a letter, you could run it through this processor, and it would tell you that it's written on 11th grade level, 12th grade level, or whatever. Someone has taken certain passages, major passages, from the Bible, and have put the Bible through this process. It's interesting that when this was done, Flesh Kincaid, the makers of this, had nothing to do with it. Somebody simply took and they typed Genesis chapter 1. They took Matthew chapter 1 and they ran it through that processor. Did you know that when they did that the King James Bible, 23 out of 26 times came out to be easier understood than the NIV or the ASV or the Good News for Modern Man. As a matter of fact, when they ran Matthew 1 through the processor, it came out to be 6th grade level, 7th month. 6th grade, 7th month level in the King James Bible. You know what the NIV came out to? It came out to the 4th year of college. In other words, in order for somebody to understand Matthew chapter 1, this study says that they would have to have a college degree to understand the NIV. And yet, to understand the King James Bible, a person would have to have a 6th grade education, 6th grade, 7th month. You see, folks, you've been sold a bill of goods when somebody told you that the King James Bible was hard to understand. It is not hard to understand. It uses words that are in one or two syllables. It uses words that are simple to understand. And you know, the real issue today is not that people can't understand the Word of God. It's that people don't want to believe the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is not really hard to understand if you rightly divide the Word of truth. But the Word of God is hard to obey. So what people have done, they said, well, I don't understand the Bible, therefore I'll go get one that I can understand. And in looking at those Bibles, they have lost much of what the Lord has to say to them. They've lost the Word of God. Now they have what is called the Word of God. But you see, the King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. The King James Bible is the Word of God. I want you to consider something with me. The NIV, which is the New International Version, is one of the most popular Bibles on the market today. And yet, did you realize that there are 17 verses that have been completely omitted from the NIV? In case you want to check this out, let me just give you a few of these. And if you want to call or write me a letter, I'll be glad to give you this information in more detail. But in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, the entire verse is left out of the NIV. Matthew 18, verse 11. Matthew 23, 14. Mark 7, 16. Mark 9, 46. And there are numerous other passages. 1 John 5, 7, a very important passage, is left completely out of the NIV. Not only that, but the New International Version has also made changes to 147 New Testament verses, omitting entire phrases. Not only that, but did you realize that the NIV completely omits 1,284 words that are found in the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus? If you're reading the NIV, you do not have a complete Bible. There are words missing. There are entire verses missing from the NIV. Another thing the NIV does in Luke chapter 2 is that it says that Jesus Christ's father was Joseph. The King James Bible says Mary and Joseph. The NIV says his mother and his father. Well, if Jesus Christ had an earthly father, if he was not the only begotten Son of God, again, we have no redemption in Christ Jesus. You see, the NIV writers said themselves that they were not interested in translating words. They were interested in preserving thoughts. Let me read what you said, or what they said. The first concern of the translators has been the accuracy of the translation and its fidelity to the thought of the writers. Well, God did not inspire thoughts. God inspired words. Every word of this Bible was written down as God inspired it. The NIV not only makes numerous changes, it has omitted the name Jesus over 13 times in their translation. Numerous changes are made in the NIV. Now, as I started out, I want you to consider, what is the final authority? What I want you to consider in your own heart and mind tonight or today is, do you have a final authority? What is your final authority? Do you have a book that you can put your hands on and believe that this is the final authority in all questions of doctrine, practice, and so forth? Well, I believe it's important that we have a final authority. And I believe that this King James Bible is our final authority. Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we have the Word of God in this King James Bible. Now, what is your final authority? You know, as you look at religion today, you'll find that there are people who have many different things that they consider their final authority. I guess foremost are those who consider the church as the final authority. They are part of a denominational system or a church, maybe in some instances a worldwide church, and they believe in matters of doctrine that the church is the final authority. They will take the teachings of the church, the traditions of the church, the historical teachings of the church, they will take that over the Word of God. When people do that, they have made the church the final authority. You don't ever want to do that. You don't want to take the doctrine of man. You don't want to take some doctrine that was devised by some man and make that your final authority. You see, every religious system in the world today was started by some man. Even the Church of Christ, it claims not to be a denomination, was started by a man back in the 1800s. They all have their foundation in men. Now, while many of those men taught things true from the Bible, you must check out what is taught to see if all of it is true. And so you don't want your final authority to be Calvin or Wesley or Campbell or anybody else. You want your final authority to be the Word of God. Not just a Word of God, the Word of God. And the Word of God is found today in the King James Bible. It is, the King James Bible is the Word of God. And so we need to hold to that and realize that and trust in that. Another thing that people have established as their final authority is experience. How many times have I heard people and talking to people say, well, I've experienced it. You know, I talked with a man one time up in Dayton, Tennessee. We stood in a man's backyard, and for several moments I stood there and went through the Scriptures with this man, talking to him about tongues and how that God had changed the program today, and we're not under the signs and miracles and wonders in the dispensation of the grace of God. I showed this man Scripture, and he finally looked me straight in the eye, and he said, I don't care what your Bible says, I've had the experience. Well, let me ask you something. Do you put more stock in some experience you've had than the Word of God? The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. That means that if you've not believed the gospel, you've not been saved. You say, but I went to an old-fashioned altar and I knelt there and I prayed and I had such a wonderful feeling. Well, feelings won't save you. You see, experience can trick you. Experience can fool you. Experiences change. You might have one experience this week, another experience the next week. Experience should never be your final authority. Don't allow experience to be the final authority in your life. Just because you experience something does not mean that it's of God. Check it out by the Word of God. See what the Bible says about it. And put your dependence in the Word of God, not in something you've experienced, not in your church, not in traditions, not in the religious system. Put your faith in the Word of God. Another area that people look to as the final authority is human reasoning. That's one that's real big today among the humanists and among religious people in general. So many people today look at the Bible and they say, well, that doesn't make sense, so I don't believe it. They look at Genesis and they say, well, the first 12 chapters of Genesis are really a myth. There's no such thing. There was no such thing as the flood. All those things are just stories or allegories that were given to present a truth, but they're not really truth. Well, the Bible is truth. The Bible is the Word of God. Every word of it is true. And because it doesn't make sense to you in your human reasoning, does not change the truth of the Scriptures. Because you don't believe in creation, because you don't believe that God Almighty brought a flood upon this earth, because you don't believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins, does not change the fact that it actually happened. And so human reasoning should not be your final authority. Well, then what is your final authority? Well, hopefully it is the Word of God. Hopefully it is the truth of the Word of God. As I mentioned a moment ago, there are those that say, well, I can't understand it. I've got to read a Bible that I can understand. Well, I want you to understand today that you can understand the Bible. You can understand it by rightly dividing it. And not only can you understand it, but you can believe it. If you will believe the Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. I want you to look back at 2 Timothy again, chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says there to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Bible is a sure word. It's a reliable word. How do we know that? Because he said it's given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's how we know that it's reliable. That's how we know that it can be the final authority. After all, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, hadn't you rather have God as your final authority than some man that says he received some revelation? What are you going to do when somebody else comes along and says they received a different revelation? You're going to follow them? Well, you know what? With the Bible, it never changes. It's always the same. It's the one constant in a never-changing world. The world changes, religions change, people change, but the Word of God remains the same. Why? Because it's given by inspiration of God. Why, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible is called a light. He said, "Thy Word is a light unto my path." The Word of God illuminates. It brings light to the situation. It brings light to darkness. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the truth that God has given us for today. And notice what Paul says there. He said it's given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. In other words, we can go to the Word of God for the doctrine that we believe. He said it's profitable for reproof. In other words, the Bible will correct us. It will reprove us of what we're doing wrong. He says it's for correction. And it's for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Well, you know something? You can't do the good works that God Almighty intended you to do without understanding the Word of God. Why? Because he said it is the Scripture that furnishes us, truly furnishes us to do good works. That's why today in religion, so many people are involved in things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. Religion today has people in bondage. Religion today has people doing things that will benefit the religious system or the preacher or the building program or whatever, rather than following the Word of God. Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's what is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What? That we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, we have the completed Word of God. We have God's completed revelation, and it's everything that we need to do the work that God has told us to do. As Paul continues there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Notice what he says. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, it's always interesting to me that when Paul wrote Timothy this final letter, he didn't say, "Timothy, you need to build bigger churches." He didn't say, "You need to buy buses and go around and pick up everybody you can and haul them in and have all kind of programs to build up the churches in number, whether people are saved or lost." He said, "Timothy, in light of the last days, in light of the things that are coming upon you," he said, "you're going to need the Scriptures." Why? Because they are that which will profit you. And he said, "Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." It's important to realize and understand that if you want to do the work of the ministry today, if you want to do the work that God has called you to do, then you need to be thoroughly equipped with what God has provided. What He has provided for you is a book that is the Word of God without error. It's this King James Bible. Don't let somebody deceive you and make you believe that some other Bible is easier to understand. You buy your children a King James Bible, you get you a King James Bible, you read that Bible, and you believe it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it, you rightly divide the word of truth, and I'll guarantee you God Almighty will give you understanding of the things you read in that Bible. Today, rather than searching for a new translation, what we need to do is get back to the one that God Almighty gave us. Believe it, stand upon it, read it, and trust in it.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.